Let us now turn to the Epistle to the Romans and chapter 5, Romans 5. And you will find the text in verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those who are regular attenders will know that in the morning of the Lord's Day, for a number of weeks now, we have been studying some basic Christian doctrines, basic subjects of Christian truth, in other words. And today, I want to look at the subject of justification. Justification. And I want to say to you, in case you don't realize this, that in many ways, it is the most important subject in the whole world. And I want to give you reasons why. The subject of justification is the answer to these extremely important questions. How can I be saved? How can I be right with God? How can I be certain that when I die, I will go to heaven? How can I be sure that all my sins will be forgiven? There are no more important questions in the world than those questions. And the subject of justification is the subject of how we can get the right answer to those questions. So that's why today, with you, I want to consider what Paul is saying in this verse. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, in other words, is the very heart of the gospel. And many of you will know that the famous German reformer Martin Luther said this. He said that justification is the article of a standing or a falling church. That means that if a church preaches the doctrine of justification correctly, it is a standing church, a true church. And if it is not preaching the doctrine of justification correctly, then it is a falling church, which means it's no true church at all. It's merely a synagogue of Satan. So these are the reasons which lead me to say to you that justification deals with the most important subject of all. What will it profit you to be rich or famous or great or important in this world if you lose your soul and don't go to heaven in the end? And only the subject of justification can give you the right answers to these great questions. The first thing I want to look at with you is this. What does it mean to be justified? What are we talking about? And then secondly, I want to say that the only way that we can be justified is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, I want to say that if we are justified, we have peace with God, which is what the Bible tells us in my text. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those then will be the three things I look at this morning. And the first one is, what does it mean to be justified? Well, the Christian religion tells us that when we are saved and brought to Christ, God does three things with us. First of all, God acts as a father, and he brings us into his family. We refer to that as adoption. We're all familiar with the idea of adoption. A child is born in a different family, but you want that child to come into your family. So you adopt that boy or girl, and we call that adoption. And that's what God does. As a heavenly father, he adopts children of this world who are not his spiritual children by birth, and he takes them into his family. And we call that adoption. That's the first thing God does when he saves us. The second thing God does is this. He makes us holy. We call that sanctification. He changes our hearts. He cleanses our hearts. He makes us pure in our minds and in our thoughts and in our intentions. And that's called sanctification. And God, in order to make us holy, acts as a doctor. There's something unwell about us all as we are born into this world. We are desperately sick. And so we need a doctor. And God, as a doctor, when he converts us, makes us his children, and brings us into his family, he cleanses our hearts and he gives us medicine for our soul, and that's called sanctification. The third thing God does, and this is what I'm coming to this morning, is God acts as a judge in order to proclaim us not guilty of our sins. And we must get these things in the right order. We must connect them in the right way. As a judge, God justifies us. As a father, he adopts us. As a doctor, he heals us. You mustn't twist those things round. For instance, if you are sick, you don't go to the high court judge to put you right. You go to the doctor. On the other hand, if you're in trouble with the law, you don't go to the doctor, you go to a lawyer, because you have to face a judge. If you're seeking adoption, or if you wish someone to adopt you, you go to them in their capacity as a father or a parent at any rate. And that's the way we should think of it. Again, as a father, God adopts us. As a doctor, he heals us. As a judge, he pronounces that we are not guilty. And we refer to this last thing as our justification. Now, there are two sentences that God can pronounce as a judge upon us. The first sentence is guilty, and the second sentence is not guilty. And when you and I and others die, immediately that is what will happen to your soul and my soul and everybody else's soul. Soon as the soul leaves the body in death, that soul goes into the presence of God, into the presence of God, especially into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge. And as soon as your soul appears in eternity, after death, in the presence of Christ, Christ will say something about you and me. He will either say you are guilty or not guilty. If what he says about you is that you're guilty, then you will immediately be sent to hell forever. If he says about you you are not guilty, then he will take you to heaven forever. So justification means God saying about us that we are not guilty and therefore may go to heaven. Now, I hope you see that this is an extremely and important and most vital subject, because it concerns you and me and all of us. We're not talking about some tiny little thing which is no bigger than the size of a pea. We're talking about something so important. It concerns not only our life in this world, but our life in eternity, after death, in the world to come. So we need to understand how we can be sure of our justification. Now, we have to understand the reason why we need justification is that as we were born into this world, we were all born guilty. That's the sad condition of mankind. We are a guilty world. And you and I are guilty for three reasons. The first thing that makes us guilty is that as we are born into this world, the sin that Adam committed in the beginning of history is imputed to us, and we are reckoned as guilty of it. I know there's something difficult to understand there, but that's what the Bible tells us very definitely. That's why children grow up to do wrong things. They don't need to go to school to be taught to be naughty. We're all by nature very gifted at being naughty without anyone teaching us. And the reason is because the first sin of our first parent Adam is reckoned to be our responsibility. We are guilty of it. The second reason why in the sight of God we are guilty is because we are all born with a totally depraved nature. Everything about us is ruined. Now let me think of a motor car. A motor car, if it's going fine, in good condition, all the parts are working. But then, supposing things begin to go wrong, get a puncture in the wheel or the tire, and then the engine stops running, and then you have difficulty with the electric supply, and the gear stick doesn't work, and the steering wheel starts to go wrong. Well, imagine a motor car in which everything was working badly, and nothing was working properly. Well, that's the way I was born. That's the way we're all born. We are totally depraved. Our minds, our hearts, our bodies, that's why we all have bodies that are more or less ill in various ways, and sick in various ways. It's all because we are totally depraved. And that's the second thing that's wrong with us. No wonder the world is the place it is then, with cruelty and war and bitterness and jealousy and adultery and all the things that go wrong. It's because we're all born with this evil nature. And we are guilty in the sight of God because of that. And the third reason why we're wrong in the sight of God and guilty in the sight of God is because of my actual sins. The things that I've actually done wrong. With my tongue, I have often said many wrong things that I shouldn't have said. With my hands, I've done many wrong things I shouldn't have done, and so on. And we're all the same. So these are the three things that put us all wrong. First, Adam's first sin is imputed to us. We're responsible for what he did. Second, our natures are depraved and ruined, like a motor car in which all the parts are broken down. And the third thing is our actual things that we've really, in this life, done wrong in the course of growing up, in the course of living in this world. Well, you might say to me, well, what is the standard that God requires? And I say to you, the standard that God requires of every one of us is absolute perfection. Because that's the way God made us. As God created Adam and Eve, they were absolutely perfect. In every way, perfect. And if Adam hadn't taken the fruit of the tree, which he was forbidden by God to take, we would all be perfect. It was because he did what he did that we are the world we are, and we are the people we are. And justification is God's way of putting it right. God, in his love and kindness, has found a way to solve the world's supremely great problem. Now, I know the world has many problems, and the government is talking about these things. Apparently, some members of the government have not been claiming as they should have been claiming, or declaring their expenses and so on, for what they've been claiming for houses and whatnot that they have in different parts of the country. And they've been found out doing what's wrong, even the leaders of the nation, apparently. That's a problem. And then there's a problem of the global downturn in the economy. That's a problem. But the big problem, the world's great problem, is the human heart, the sin of your heart and mine. And justification is God's remedy. It is God's answer to that big problem. How then does God solve the problem? Well, like this. He gave his own dear son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world. Jesus took our human nature. He took our body, like yours, a man's body. He took a man's body into union with himself. He is God, the Son, and he took a human body into union with himself. A great mystery, a great and wonderful thing, a great kindness on his part. What a miracle it is that God should become man in two natures, one person, forever. And then he lived a perfect life, not simply for himself, but for us. And then, as you know, our Lord was crucified and nailed to the cross, and there he was punished, not for his own sins, because he had none, but for your sins and mine. Now, that was a wonderful thing he did, because by his perfect life, and by his atoning death upon the cross, Jesus Christ obtained righteousness, a righteousness which he can give away to us, free. And all we have to do to get it is to believe in him. And the moment I believe in Jesus as my Lord and my Savior who lived and died for me, God justifies me. Which means he doesn't anymore regard me as a guilty sinner deserving to go to hell. The moment I believe in Christ, that instant, God blots out of his book all the bad things I have done and been, and the bad things that I have said. And he forgives all the things I should have done and didn't do, what we call sins of omission. Now, that's how we are justified. We are justified by faith alone. And that's what Paul's talking about in my verse, verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you all certain that your sins are forgiven? Is everybody here absolutely sure that you are right with God? Are you certain that if you were to die, as you now are, you would go to heaven? Or are you still uncertain and still unsure? Oh, these are tremendous questions. These are the biggest questions of all. You couldn't ask a more important question than that. That if something were to happen to you, you have an accident, I pray not, but if you have an accident on the road, or a sudden disease comes, like this awful swine flu we're hearing about, or some cancer, if you are guilty before God, there's no way you can get to heaven. But if you are justified by faith in Christ, you will certainly go to heaven. You will definitely go to heaven. So you see how very, very important this is. For you, every one of you, and all the world. That's my first point, and I come to the second, which is this. The only way you can be justified is by faith alone. In Christ, with nothing whatsoever added to it. Faith, faith, faith alone. That's the only way you can receive this not guilty verdict of God upon your soul. I want to give you my text. Being justified by what? Do you see the word? Justified by. Does it say by works? No, it doesn't. Does it say justified by good deeds? No, it doesn't say that. Does it say justified by saying many prayers? No. Does it say justified by going to church very often? No. How can you be justified? By faith. Faith. Faith alone. It's the only way. But now, Very few people understand that. It's amazing how hard it is for people to grasp this. People are always wanting to stick something on top of faith, to add to faith, to justify themselves. Let me give you some examples. Lots of people are living in a fool's paradise. And I remember some years ago, my wife and I were talking to a lady who was very ill. I think it was cancer she had. We went along to see this dear older lady. She was very charming. She was a church-going person, though she wasn't going to one of our churches, but to a different church entirely, which didn't seem to have the gospel. And we said to her, "Now, Mrs. Sonso, can we kindly say to you, what you must do to be right with God is you must believe in Jesus. And if you don't trust in Jesus, you can't get to heaven. God will punish you when you die. He will send you to hell." We tried to say it in the nicest possible way, but you have to be straight with people, otherwise they're going to hell with their eyes open, aren't they? And we said something like that. And this dear lady, very charming, this is what she said. "Oh," she said, "I don't believe God would send anyone to hell," she said. "He's such a kind God. He would never send anyone to hell." Now that's what's called believing a lie. Because God is not only full of love, which is true, that bit was right. God is full of love, that's absolutely true. But he's also full of holiness and justice. And nothing that is unclean will enter into heaven. The Bible tells us that again and again. Nothing that defileth shall enter there. So we've got to have God's not guilty verdict before we can get into heaven. Another mistake people make is this. They say, "Well, all this talk about people committing sin," they say. A lot of the sin, so-called, is committed in ignorance. And if it's committed in ignorance, God's not going to blame people for what they ignorantly do. He'll forgive them. People think like that too. It's a mistake, but I'm just telling you what people sometimes get wrong, you see. Now let me answer that. Supposing a person gets dead drunk and jumps into the car and sets off at 75 miles an hour down the road and knocks down a little boy of 10 who happens to be crossing the road, poor fellow. And then the man is arrested by the police, taken to court, and he's facing the judge, and he has a lawyer, and the lawyer defends him, and the lawyer says, "Your Honor," he says to the judge, "there's nothing wrong with what my client did. He knocked the boy down and killed him, but he was dead drunk, and he didn't know what he was doing. He did it in ignorance, my lord. So you can't punish him for that." Well, everybody would laugh at that. He shouldn't have been dead drunk. He shouldn't have been driving his car dead drunk. He knocked him down in ignorance because of the drink, but that was no excuse, was it? That was an aggravation of his sin. People shouldn't be ignorant of what God said. People shouldn't be ignorant of the gospel. They shouldn't be ignorant of the day of judgment. This Bible is given to us all to read. And it tells us over and over again, we must be justified by faith in Christ. Otherwise, we have no chance of acceptance with God. And sins of ignorance are still sins. Another mistake people make is this. They say, "What about baptism? I was baptized as a little child. Minister put the water on my head, or his head, or her head, when I was a little child, and baptism has washed away my sin," they say. Now, my dear friends, baptism is important, and baptism has a real place, and we respect baptism as something God has given. But let me tell you this, the water of baptism will not cleanse your heart unless you have faith in Jesus Christ. The water of baptism will do you no saving good at all. It is by faith, either the faith of the parent or the faith of the children. But you've got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if you are to be saved. And when we baptize our children, it is with the prayer that the day will come that they will be saved by faith in Christ. But not everybody who is baptized, either as babies or as grown-ups, not every one of them goes to heaven. It's possible to be baptized and to go to hell. Just as we're told it's possible for the Jews in the Old Testament to be circumcised and to go to hell. We've got to have faith in Christ. That's why all that talk in chapter 4 is about Abraham. When was he saved? Was it before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? And the whole argument there is that circumcision didn't save him any more than today baptism saved us. No, it was his faith that saved him. Faith in Jesus Christ and in God's promise. That's what saved Abraham. Study chapter 4 again, as I read to you. I know it's a rather difficult chapter, but it's worth studying and studying. The point he's making there is that the sacraments of circumcision and baptism are important and God-given, but of themselves, without faith in Christ, they don't save anyone. It's Christ who saves, and he alone. You see, the Bible tells us we are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. Christ has done all the work. Now, I don't want to say anything unkind about the Roman Catholic religion and the Roman Catholic Church. I hate saying unkind things about anybody. But I have to say to you, my dear friend, this is the terrible mistake that the Roman Catholic Church makes. They say something like this. Oh, they say, faith is very important. Because Jesus has done about 95% of everything that needs to be done. His holy death on the cross, for us, it means that about 95% of all that we need is done. But, you must do the other 5% yourself. You must go to the priest and confess your sin. And you must come to the Mass and take the wafer. And you must venerate the Virgin Mary and the statues of the saints. And you must do the things a priest tells you. That adds up to 5%, you see. Christ is a 95%. You must do the other little bit. You see what they're doing? They're adding something to Christ. They're not saying what Paul says, that we're justified by faith alone. They're saying we're justified by faith in Christ, who's done most of our needs, but we have to add a bit of our own. You see, it's that little bit you add on which ruins the gospel. And that's why Roman Catholicism we regard as sadly, tragically misguided. At this very point, other points too, but especially at this point, this is the most important thing of all. If you get this wrong, then you may go to hell with your eyes open, and you don't realize exactly how serious it is. So the Bible says, faith, faith, faith alone, nothing but faith in Jesus Christ alone is what takes a person to heaven. So, before I come to my third point, can I put the question to you again? My very dear friend, are you sure that you are right with God? Are you certain that you have been justified? Are you absolutely sure that you have put your whole trust in Christ alone for eternal life? Well, if you have, then what a happy and blessed person you are. You are a real Christian, just like Abraham, a real believer, on your way to glory, soon to be in heaven. But if you're not, then you see you have something to do, haven't you? You've got something to do. You've got to get right with God whilst you have life. And the quicker the better, because you never know how short your life may be. You may lose it tomorrow morning, for all we know. We don't know what a day will bring forth or an hour will bring forth. And so the challenge is, make sure you have given your heart to God. Make sure you have put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Very briefly then, in my third point, before I close. Paul tells us that if we have been justified by faith in Christ, then, he says, wonderful things are true of us. We have this peace with God. What's that peace with God? Well, I'll tell you. You can't really explain it. It's beyond words. It passes all understanding. The peace of God that passes all understanding. I can't convey it to you, but it's an inward certainty. God is mine, and I am His forever. That's the certainty, the assurance, the comfort we have Whether I live or die, whether I'm sick or well, rich or poor, doesn't matter. I'm soon to be with God. How do I know? I am justified. Christ is my righteousness, and he's at the right hand of God, and all shall be well. I have peace with the Heavenly Father through him. That's what it's telling us. I'm wearing the garment of salvation. God has said about me already, not guilty. And when I meet him in a judgment day, when I die, not guilty, he'll say about it. Come to glory with my people, he'll say. And that's a tremendous comfort. And everything that happens to us in life will only be for the best. We have access by faith, he says, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. That's the happy condition of men and women, boys and girls, who are justified by faith. As I close, let me give you some nice lines to do with justification. Here they are. I'll read them to you. Plead thou my cause, thou advocate divine. That's Christ. I have no words, no argument save thine. Speechless I stand before the bar of God, the judgment seat. Guilty, lost, unless redeemed by blood. The blood of Jesus. So then with this, I leave you, my dearest friends. We must get right with God. And there's only one way. That is through justification. God's way of justification. And what is it? Is it prayers? Is it church going? Is it baptism? Is it good works? Is it fasting? Is it taking the Lord's Supper? None of these things. It's putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone, that blessed Son of God, who lived for us and died for us, to bestow upon us this righteousness which we receive by faith in him. May God grant that every one of us may have this tremendous assurance.